when I got my wings, we were sent on leave. Everybody got a, I think it was 7 day leave or something like that. I called up Mary, and their family had put together a wedding for us. And we had a real nice wedding, church wedding
Where was that?
in Marshall.
So on your 7 day leave, you went to Marshall, got married.
Then we were headed for instructor school at San Antonio at Randolph Field. Real fortunate to get to go to Randolph Field. I flew off of the grass there before they had runways. When we got down there, Mary's mother had, I don't know, with a cousin or something, Uncle Farron. They had gotten us rooms at Mrs. Arneson's. Mr. Arneson was the guy who designed
The San Antonio Riverwalk.
the Riverwalk and the Arneson Theater. And we stayed in their house upstairs in one room. Our backdoor neighbor was Mamie Eisenhower. And I was scared to death all the time, every time I'd come home, that Ike would be there. I was only a little old second lieutenant,
Now you
but
never did run into him.
never, he was over in England, so he wasn't about to come home.
Did you ever see Mamie?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever talk to her and
No, I
interact?
never did talk to her. I didn't want to have anything to do with
Okay.
that.
But now
I'm
Mrs.
sure that
Arneson, she,
Mary did, but I didn't.
and Mrs. Arneson, she was a widow at the time.
That's right.
So she had room for to take
That's
you guys
right.
in.
And everybody did that. Anybody that had room would let the base know that they were there. And you'd go to the bulletin board, the women would, the men didn't. Women'd go and they'd see on there so and so has a room, you know. And so then that's how we got rooms. We lived also with a prospector, mining engineer, and his wife. And they were just lovely to us. Down in Douglas, one of the things that was the most scary was when you were getting on the trains, the military guys got on first, and then the families would get on. And I'll tell you get on the train, go to the window, and there's your wife standing out there, and the train's ready to go, and it's full house. I never did see anybody left, but there wasn't any room left inside. We sit on baggage and all that kind of thing. But Mary and I got along just fine.
Because that must have been nice for her to be able to come with you and stay with you and.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of people did that. We had fun in Reno, too, when we were out there. We lived with another couple. And they had a baby. We had a good time with them.
So you were in instructor school then.
That's right. And nothing particularly happened except I got to fly all different kinds of airplanes. I flew a B-25 for quite a while, AT-31. The best, of course, the one I liked to fly all the time was the AT-9. And then we went back to instruction at Randolph Field, then we were sent back to Douglas, Arizona, where we lived with this mining engineer. And we would sit out on the front porch steps and watch storms go across the south part of Arizona. It's gorgeous out there when those big storms go through. And I had a lot of fun flying. I just really enjoyed flying. The flying was just, I could hardly wait to get into the plane. And that happened until they started shooting. And when they started shooting, it wasn't worth a nickel.
Now, you had told me before once you had a regular routine where
Yeah.
could you tell me about that?
Yeah. Well, every morning I'd get up, had to get up at 5 o'clock. Didn't like that. But I'd get out to the field and I would take an AT-9 and I would fly to Yuma. At Yuma, I would go into the field there and see that they had the tank trucks were ready for fuel for the cadets that would come following me. And there would be about 150 airplanes. And that takes a while to fill. And so then I would just be sure that everything was ready for the first group to come. And then I would fly up to Las Vegas, where the dam is there, I would get that field to get open up there, be sure that they had the gasoline there and the facilities all ready for this group of planes that would come. And then I flew over to Las Vegas, is okay. where the field was. Then I flew to Phoenix, and for it opened up over there. And then Phoenix, I'd fly back to Douglas. And I'd get in about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had a good time from then on till the next day. And that's what I did. Las Vegas to Phoenix, I would purposely get kind of lost, go a little bit north, and drop down into the Grand Canyon. Now, the airplane that I was flying would not climb on one engine. It would only climb on two engines. So if you lost an engine, you were in trouble. You could only go down and land. And here I was flying down in the Grand Canyon. Crazy kid. I just thought it was marvelous. And I had you slow down. You had to slow down to almost landing speed. And the airplane took off at about 110 miles an hour. And I think the wind currents about tore the wings off down in that in the canyon, because it would hit so hard that it'd jar you. I mean, it'd bang, bang, bang as you hit these air pockets. And you'd fly down the river in the canyon, which is sometimes down almost a mile deep, you know, 5,000 feet down there. You'd come to where the river turned right or left. You didn't know which way it was going to turn, right or left, because there's a wall right there in front of you until just the last minute, and then all of a sudden you had to turn. Wow, that was really silly. But I did it, and I had fun.
Now, how many times did you do that regularly?
Oh, I did that probably 8-10 times, okay. maybe. Enough times to get used to it and decide you don't want to do it anymore. Yeah, that was really great. It was a wonderful airplane. Wonderful airplane, AT-9. There's only one that is at the Air Force Museum at Dayton. This is an assembled airplane. It has pieces from every place. And it's gorgeous. It's probably better than the original. I've seen it several times, and even as old as I am, I bet you I could fly it. I made a model airplane. I designed it myself. I found some old pictures, drew the plans, and built the airplane. And I'm really pleased with how it came out.
I should say, just for the tape, if somebody listens to this in the future, that we're sitting in a room and there's how many planes are up?
26.
26 planes are suspended from the ceiling up above us, and they're all different types of models, ranging from a couple feet long and wide to
Well, they're one of them in here is two of them are 10 feet, three or four that are 9 feet, the rest of them would be 7, and there I don't think there are any. Yeah, there are a couple of 6 foot planes.
Now, the twin engine plane that you said you designed
that's
yourself.
That's 9 foot.
9 foot.
It has twin engines. It's a radio control model.
And that's the AT-9.
That's the AT-9.
Now, you've flown many of planes. Is that your favorite? Or?
Well, I don't know about that.
But at the time, while you were an instructor, that's the plane you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was living it high on a hog, man.
Okay.
I was there.
Now, I'd kind of like to talk to you about your favorite plane in general. And I believe you said that was the B-17.
I don't think there's any question. The B-17 was by far the finest airplane in the war. And you ask any of the guys that flew the B-17 in comparison to the B-24 or the 25. Now, 25 was a good airplane. It would just fly by itself. Oh, there were a lot of... P-51 was an excellent airplane. B-26 was a good airplane. But I liked the B-17.
Now, how did you end up on the B-17?
What happened was that here we were in Douglas. We're back there now, and I've gotten my wings. Mary and I have gotten married, and we went down to Mrs. Arneson's. And then we went over. We were sent from the training there in San Antonio. Then we were sent to Douglas again, where we stayed with the old prospector. We flew around the loop that I went around, down in the canyon and all that.
So how you ended up on the B-17,